And we know Romans 8:28, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good. All things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. The other NASB version has, we know that for those who love God, God works all things together for good who are the called according to his purpose. Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. Amen. That's good news. Amen. He's the first among many. He just led the way. Amen. We're there. Amen? Amen. And those whom he predestined, he also called. Thank you, Lord. Those whom he called, he also justified. Thank you, Lord. Those whom he justified, he also glorified. Thank you, Lord. He just didn't stop at any of those phases. He's going to complete it all the way to the end. He who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. What shall we say to these things? Since God for us, who against us? Amen. When you think about that, God is for us. He did not spare his son, next verse, his own son, but delivered him up over us to us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? I mean, he withhold nothing from us according to his will. Amen. If he gave us his most precious possession in his son, then the rest of it just doesn't matter. I mean, it's everything that he does is for our good. We just have to trust him on that. Amen. So we've been talking about that. And we talked about, again, we've been talking about the recipients of this grace. And we, from there, we went to those who are the recipients, are those who love God. And those who love God are those who are on the call. And those who've been called have been effectually called. They've been called inwardly. We ended last time talking about the effectual call, that this call is from God. Mm-hmm. Remember that? We have absolutely nothing to do with this call. We went over some verses. John 6:65 says that no one can come to me, they're unable to, unless it is granted him by my Father. John 1:12, that he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor the will of flesh, but of God. Romans 9:11, we talked about Jacob and Esau. How they had not been born, had done nothing good or bad, but that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works from Isaac or Jacob and Esau, or their parents, but because of him who calls. Romans 9:11. And that is an internal call, an effectual call. Because of that call, Rebecca was told, the mother, that the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I love, but Esau I hate it. What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means. Whenever you conclude, I know this is rerun, but I want to remind you again, whenever that's your conclusion, that ain't right. God is wrong. Whenever you conclude to anywhere or come to the conclusion, anywhere in the neighborhood of that, know you are way off base. Because there is no injustice on God's part. What shall we say then? Is there any injustice on God's part? By no means. Romans 9:15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Instead of being indignant, we ought to be on our knees just gratefully thanking God. Thank you for having mercy on me. Thank you for having compassion on me, because you did not owe me anything, as the song says.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. I want to repeat it again. We have absolutely nothing to do with this call. Amen. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Three more verses underneath this call that we have nothing to do with. And then we'll move on. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Thank you, Jesus. We have absolutely nothing to do with this call, with our being born again, with our being regenerated, with our being made righteous. We have nothing to do with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, that inward call, together with all those in every place called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Everyone, every place, who is called to be saints and called on the name of the Lord, they have been called by God to be saints. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. Let you know that Apostle Paul wasn't the only one called. He was called in a spectacular way, but nonetheless, he was called just as every bit as you and I. His is recorded in Scripture, and it was spectacular. Spectacular. But he was called just like us. Think about that. The same God that called Apostle Paul called you if you're born again. The same Holy Spirit that went in and interacted into our dead spirit, bringing life to our spirit, is the same God who did that to Paul, rather, is the same God that did that to us. Then we got to think about that. Verse 12, Philippians 3:12. Not that I have already obtained it, talking about the prize, or have already become perfect, nowhere near, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ. Jesus Christ laid hold of me so that I would then lay hold of perfection, or the direction toward perfection. Remember, we won't ever be perfect, but our lives are directed toward perfection. That's the, if our life were, I don't know, an arrow, I don't know, and a bow, I don't know. But you shoot it toward the target, the bull. The bullseye is perfection. But the whole bent of our lives should be toward that. So it may not reach perfection, but that should be the direction. Does that make sense? And he's saying that here. He lay hold of me so that I can lay hold of that which he wants me to lay hold of, which is to be like Christ. That's the ultimate prize. That's the prize. The prize is Christ-likeness. But I want you to focus on that he laid hold on me. Remember, it's not a wooing. It's a takeover. He laid hold of us. Amen. Gave us life. 2 Timothy chapter 1, last one. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Second Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Just showing you again about the call. It's completely all God. Second Timothy rather, chapter 1, verse 9. Who saved us and called us. You see that? He saved us and called us. We have nothing. When you minister, let's say you minister to your parents, or you minister to your sons, or you minister to your nephews, and they are saved. You didn't do that. Because if that's the case, we'll go out and try to save everybody. If we can do it. Nope. It was God's timing, God's power, God's will, God's sovereignty, and God's choice to choose you as the conduit through which the word would be spoken, because God knew in eternity past, I'm going to use Susu. He called you Susu back then. I'm going to use Susu as the conduit through which he will speak the word of life to her, it's her son. And he's going to hear that word, and I'm going to time going to cause that word to bring life to that spirit. Amen. It's all God. Amen. What we do, puff our chest out. Are you kidding me? Because if that's the case, then it's going to save everybody you won't save. If it's you. He even chooses the vessel through which, even what is said through that vessel, it's all God. We have nothing to do with that. When I say we are chosen recipients of this incredible guarantee that all things work together for good, I'm trying to impress upon you. We are the chosen. He chose us. We ought to be on our knees every day thanking God. As humbly as we know how. We didn't save us. I don't care who prayed for you. It was God who ultimately gave the increase, you coming into the kingdom.
Yes.
And to him be all the glory. Now, hopefully that'll make even more sense. That's why we say that. Now to him was to him be all the glory and the majesty. To him be dominion and power. Because he's the one that, look at this, who saved us and called us to a holy calling. He called us to be separate, set apart unto him, separated. Not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus, before the ages began, back in eternity past, before it ever got started. He already graced you. He saw you, and he graced you then. Remember, go back to, if we think about the very beginning, Romans 8:29, whom he did foreknow, right? And he turned before the ages began. He knew us intimately. He predestined us. Predestined. So eternity past, he knew us intimately, and then once he knew us, he gave us a destiny to be conformed to the image of his dear son. A big problem with real, genuine, dyed-in-the-wool Christians, you really are a real Christian, we just don't know who we are. I don't care what somebody think about you. If you're born again, God has saved you. He chose you. He loves you with a special love. He loved the world to a certain extent and graces them. But the grace and the love he has toward us makes his love toward the world and kindness look like hate. And we walk around moping around because somebody human said something that, man, you don't have nothing. You ain't got nothing on me. You're not going to define me with your words. You only know me externally. We ended on Sunday by saying, don't believe what people tell you when they're good. Right. So don't believe the bad either. Unless the Lord is trying to speak a word, you understand, because you're doing something wrong. But generally speaking, folk will always be talking, good or bad. Don't believe none of it. They don't know you. Right. Your Heavenly Father does. Focus on that. He saved me. He called me with a holy calling. He foreknew me intimately before the ages began. Then he gave me this ridiculous guarantee that everything that happens to you and around you and so on and so on is going to be for good. What a guarantee. Let's go back to our foundation text. Romans chapter 8. So we spent like 2 months on just the recipients, talking about the recipients of this great promise, this great grace, this great guarantee. Who are they? Those who love God. Who are those? The ones who are the called according to his purpose. Now, we're going to go back up into the verse there. And we know that for those who love God. So the reason I went and skipped down to who the called are. I'm sorry. For those who love God, rather. And we know that for those who love God. Because that's an emphatic. Then I skip to the bottom part of the verse. Who are the called. Because that's describing the same group. Those who love God are the called. So we kind of went there that way. Let me give you my logic. So that we can know who are the recipients of this grace. Now, what is the guarantee? Let's talk about that. God causes all things to work together for good. Let's talk about all things. things is comprehensive, meaning it is all-inclusive. It's across the board, if you will. It's far-reaching. It's complete, all things. One commentator writes, it is inclusive in the fullest possible sense, having no qualifications or limits. Having no qualifications. In other words, there's nothing that has to be done to qualify to come up under the all things, because it's all inclusive. There is nothing that needs to be done to qualify it. There are no prerequisites or requirements. It's all inclusive. It is inclusive in the fullest possible sense. No limits. All things. One writes, neither this verse nor its context, meaning the verses around it, or the chapters preceding or coming after it, neither this verse nor its context allows for restrictions or conditions. It's unconditional and it's unrestricted. Everything, all things. You catch that? This verse or the context, the surrounding verses and chapters. There, you'll read through all of that and you'll find no restrictions and no conditions. It's not conditional. You mean all things? Really mean all things? Yes. It really means all things. That's incredible. Notice God is causing all things to work together. If you think about God doing this, then it's not so incredible in a sense, because he can do anything. He's sovereign. We keep going over that. He has to be sovereign to make such a grandiose guarantee. It's like, I guarantee that everything that happens around you and to you is going to work out for good. I guarantee that, because I'm the God who can do it. I'm all powerful. I'm sovereign. I'm Lord of all. There is nothing that exists or occurs in heaven or on earth that is not included in this phrase, all things. So I don't care what happens or exists or heaven, in heaven or down on earth. All of it is included in all things. All of it is included. Need to get a hold of that. Look at verse 38. You're in Romans 8, right? Look at verse 38. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why it doesn't make a difference what happens. His love will never be separated from you. And since his love can't be separated from you, then the guarantee is always for you. Did you catch that? It's not like, oops, the guarantee just ran out because things present caused me to lose my grip on you. Nope. Things present, things to come, powers, principalities, angels, death, not even death can cause it. Even death is a good thing. He causes death, which is because of sin, to be good, because you get to be right in his presence. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And as one commentator put it, that is talking about the instantaneousness of it all. I never thought about that. You leave the body, bang, you're in God's presence. Yes, yes. So even death, good comes out of that. Yes. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. So not even death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, the past, the present, the future, powers, height, depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God. That is an incredible promise again, a guarantee. Now, I just want to say something here. Paul is not saying that God will prevent his children from suffering harm or bad things or experiencing, you know, harmful things. He's not saying that. Because we said all things, good and the bad. So although he's working it for good, doesn't mean you won't experience harm. You won't experience hurt and loss and so forth. He just take the loss, if you will, and work good out of it. That's not what he's saying, that God prevents his children from experiencing things that can harm. What he is saying is that the Lord takes all that he allows. Because remember, everything is allowed by God. Whether God is actively doing something to, through, or for you, or God is passively allowing something to happen to you, through you, or for you. Either way it goes, he's going to work that thing to our good. Even the worst things that can happen. Even the worst things. And he'll turn it into blessings ultimately. All that he allows to happen to his children, even the worst, he'll even turn that ultimately into blessings. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you. That's why I keep telling you to meditate now while there's relative calm in your life. Get this word in you, meditate and meditate it. So when it hits, because you don't have time at 2:30 in the morning, you're in a deep sleep, hopefully, and suddenly the phone rings and you're trying to just because you're human, you're getting this bad news, you're still trying to wake up. You got to process waking up and process the news all at the same time. You think you're going to feel like trying to find a Bible, go find a verse and try to meditate on it at that time? No. It better already be in you. Or that surprise storm is going to knock you sideways. You still saved. You're a child of God. Get that word. Let the word anchor you. Let it be your anchor. Know that your anchor holds within the veil.
Thank you, Lord.
Christ alone's cornerstone. Weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm. He's Lord of all. You got to have that already in you when that 2:30 call hits. As the song says, and grips the solid rock. Make sure your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. And that rock is Jesus. So you're not saying nothing bad ever happened. He's saying when it does, I'll even turn that into good, into a blessing. Let's look at verse 28 again now. So he causes all things. And what is going to cause? All things to work together. Sunergeos. S-U-N-E-R. If you're taking notes. S-U-N. S-U-N-E-R-G-E-O. S-U-N-E-R-G-E-O. Sunergel or ghetto. Soon means with. Ergeo. Erg, right? That means energy or effort. We get our word energy from that. Put it together, it means the working together. Working together. A working together. A working together. Work energy. So synergeo, from the English term synergism. Remember that word, heard the word synergism, right? Coming together. Symphonies is in there too. The working together of various elements to produce an effect or result or an outcome greater than and often completely different from the sum of each element acting separately. Now that sounds real. What the word are you talking about? So you all have this? You all got this? Okay. All right. So, the working together of various elements to produce an effect, result, outcome. So, elements working together to produce a desired outcome or effect that God wants. And that outcome or that result or that effect is greater than and often completely different from the sum of each element acting separately. For an example, table salt, I think it's a great example, is made of sodium and chlorine. These two substances are poisonous. P-O-I-S-O-N-O-U-S. These two substances separately are poisonous. You got that? Just stay there. You put them together, they produce salt that's beneficial. Let's go back to the definition. Working together various elements, in this case sodium and chlorine, to produce an effect, result, or outcome, in this case salt, greater than and often completely different from, which it is, sort of different from and greater than the two, the sum of each element acting separately. So if sodium is acting separately and chlorine is acting separately, they're poisonous. Put them together, the sum of that is great. Thank you. You got that. If you can meditate on that, you can see why, whether it be your death of your child or the husband went crazy and do some things or this happened, that, God is taking the sum of all the bad things, put them together, and they produce a good thing in the spirit realm. And not necessarily me, because I want to read So did we get this right? We understand synergism? Okay. I love the table salt. Acting separately, poisonous. Together, a useful, good outcome, a good benefit. This is an excellent comment as we get ready to close. The commentator says, contrary to what the King James rendering seems to suggest, it is not that things in themselves work together to produce the good. It's not the things themselves. As Paul has made it clear earlier in the verse, it is God's providential power and will, not a natural synergism of circumstances and events in our lives, that causes them to work together for good. It is God's power, God's sovereignty, God's will that things work together, not the things themselves, because the things themselves have produced a very ruinous effect. Your child dying or loved one dying or someone with cancer. So it's not the things themselves, it's God using those things like poisonous things, putting them together, bringing good out of it. Do you understand that? It's what God put in the properties of sodium and chlorine, that whatever combined, they bring about good. Death is still death. Pain is still pain. Cancer is still cancer. But what God is doing is using those bad things, like those two poisons, and somehow working some good out of it. We don't know how. Don't try to figure it out. That's where we get in trouble. We try to figure out God. And when we can't figure it out, we tend to get mad at God. And now you're in trouble. Because there's not another guy you can go to put your faith in to get you through this horrific circumstance or event that you're going through. That's the devil trying to pull you away from the things of God. Don't try to understand it. Just believe him. He already said, my ways and my thoughts are far above yours. Oh, the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments. And his ways, how he operates, are past or beyond our finding out. So trying to figure it out is an exercise in futility. Just know that God is working the things, not the things themselves, working together. Does that make sense? And you got to make that distinction. Because the way King James says it, all things work together. When it's God, that's why I love the New American Standard that says, and we know that for those who love God, God works all things together. It's God. It is his power, his providence, his sovereignty, his will, his purpose, bringing it together for good. And we'll stop right there. That's enough to meditate on. Father God, help us to trust you. When things are sideways, to trust you, depend on you, rely on you, count on you, lean on you. All that we are. Trust fall, lean on you. You cannot lie. Every single word you say is true. When you say that you are working all things comprehensively, inclusively, to the fullest, together for good, then that's what you're doing, period. Whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not, whether we see it or not, it's irrelevant. That's what you're doing. And we receive it. We receive your word. We receive the truth of your word. We trust you. Help us to put our faith and trust in you and not in our understanding. Or else then understanding becomes lower. And our faith is transferred from you to our ability to understand what you're doing. That's a very dangerous place to be. And if that's where we are, if any of your children are there, let us know that so we can get our faith back onto you. And we will be ever so grateful. And ever so mindful. Give you and you alone all the praise because you deserve it. And an abundance besides. In Jesus' name, and the people of God said, Amen.